Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we are studying the book of Malachi, as you know if you are a regular listener to the Beacon Broadcast. And you remember that the book of Malachi is the record of God's last prophet sent to his covenant people in the era we call the Old Testament. And his message was a message of judgment. It was a warning about the consequences of sinful rebellion. The first two chapters are given to a listing of a number of indictments which God has against his people. And then chapter 3 opens with a very clear warning of judgment because of the sins of his people, the consequences of their sinful rebellion. But though the message of Malachi is about judgment, that's not all it's about. Thank God for that. And so the prophet Malachi's message was also about pardon. It was about the mercies of God to forgive and to heal and to restore. Here are the people of Israel, persistent in their rebellion, but God is long-suffering and patient in his offers of mercy, and God continues to plead with Israel, calling upon them to turn from their sins and seek the free pardon of God. And we learn a great deal about that in this book, and particularly in the portion that we are in right now in chapter 3. And today we're going to be looking at verses 6 and the verses which follow. So, thank you for joining me on this Monday as we gather together around the Word of God. And thank you for your financial gifts which make it possible to continue this Bible teaching ministry. We begin by truth we need to know about God. In verse 6 we read, "For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." The truth we need to know about God. And if we're going to understand salvation, we need to know who God is. We will not understand him completely, fully, comprehensively, but we must understand him correctly. In other words, what we do know about God must be true. And I'm afraid there are many people who talk about God, say that they believe in God, endeavor to worship God, and yet because their concepts of God are not aligned with the revelation of himself which God has given to us in his word, they are actually worshiping the wrong God. They call him the God of the Bible, they call him the Christian God, but he's not, because their ideas about him are not true. They are talking about, thinking about, relating to, worshiping a different God than the one you find revealed in the pages of Scripture. So what do we need to know about God? Well, there are several things suggested here in verse 6. And number one, God is self-existent. "For I am the Lord." Or more literally, "I, Jehovah." Or "I, Yahweh." What's so significant about that? Well, this is the name for God that is literally the pronoun verb "I am." I am. That's a strange name. That is a strange name. It would baffle us if we found anyone of our acquaintances with a name like that. I am. What does that mean? But God is the eternal I am. He is the self-existent one. He is uncreated. He is eternal. He is self-existent. He doesn't need anything outside of himself to exist. We do. We cannot exist without many things outside of ourselves. I'm not self-existent. How long would I live if I couldn't have access to air to breathe? That would end my life very quickly. And if I had air to breathe, how long would I exist if I had no water available? It wouldn't take long without water until I would no longer live. And likewise, with food and so forth, we can go through a litany of things that are necessary for our existence. We need to have some kind of shelter in cold weather, or we will freeze to death. And there are a number of things that are outside of ourselves that are necessary to continue our existence. But what God is saying is, I am the self-existent one. I am the one who needs nothing outside of myself. I am that I am, is the way this God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. He is the eternal I am. He is uncreated, unlike you and me. We are created by him, but he is created by no one. He is eternal. He has no beginning, unlike ourselves. We have a beginning, but this one has no beginning. I can't fathom that, can you? I cannot fathom that. I can declare it because the Bible reveals it, but I cannot understand it. I cannot fathom that. I cannot conceive in my mind of anything that is eternal, that had no beginning, that has always existed, but God reveals that to us, and that's included in the name that he gives us here, Malachi 5:6. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I am Yahweh. I am that I am. I am the uncreated, eternal, self-existent one that needs nothing, nothing outside of myself. Nothing from anything around me. I need nothing, which includes, and we need to understand this one does not need people. He created people, and he created them for fellowship with himself, but he doesn't need us. And that's a mistake that I hear some people make, even some preachers and Bible teachers make. They make God needy. They say God needed someone to have fellowship with. God needed someone to love. God needed someone to love him back. God needed us, so he made us to meet a need that he had. No, no, no. For I am the Lord, I do not change. How long, if you can even use the word long, because that, of course, suggests a time frame, how long did God exist without any of us, before he created the world, before he created Adam and Eve, before he created any people? How long did God exist without any need whatsoever, perfectly satisfied, perfectly complete? Well, we can't even say how long, but if you would say for 10 trillion years, you wouldn't have stated a number that's long enough. No, dear friends, he needs nothing. God is self-existent. And we need to know that about God. We need to know who this God is that we're dealing with. He is self-existent. What else do we need to know about God? Well, he tells us in this short text that he is immutable. What does that mean? That means he is unchangeable. Again, Malachi 5, or rather 3:6, I am the Lord, I do not change. I do not change. We can't fathom that. We can't fathom that. Everything about us and about the world in which we live changes. Change and decay all around I see, O thou who changest not. Abide with me, wrote the songwriter, and had it exactly right. I was having lunch with someone the other day, and we got into that subject of change, and we talked about how much the world has changed over the last few decades. This particular person was a church member who's been with us for a long time, for about 40 years, and he said he talked about when he first came to our church, and then he talked about how much things have changed since then in the world in which we live. And we talked about the fact that people our age can understand that to some degree, but younger people don't see that as clearly as we do because, of course, they haven't lived as long and they haven't seen as many changes. But everything is changing around us all the time. I'm changing. You're changing. Everybody is changing. Everything is changing. Churches cannot stay the same because they're made of people who do not stay the same. We see people who grow old and die, and we see new ones being born, and others coming to join our fellowship. And the church is constantly changing. In fact, that was one of the things that our conversation mentioned. He said, when he talked about how things have changed since he first came to our church 40 years ago, one of the things that has changed is our church. Although he didn't seem to feel the significance of the weight of that change as much as the changes in society around us. So even though there have been great changes in our church, because most of the people, an awful lot of the people that he knew and loved and fellowshipped with and labored with, served together with in those early years are gone. They're with the Lord. They're gone from this earthly sphere. They're not gone, thank God. They're not gone, but they are with the Lord and are no longer here. And so our church has changed. It cannot help but change. It must change. That is the nature of man. That is the nature of the world. But God is of a different nature. Man is mutable. We don't use that word very often. We're more likely to use the other word, immutable, to apply to God. But man is mutable. He is changeable. He is constantly changing. The world is mutable. But God is immutable. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Which means God never gets any better. How can you improve on perfection? God never gets any worse because a perfect God cannot get worse. There's no worse possible for him. He does not ever get any older. Imagine that. The Ancient of Days, to be sure, and yet he never gets any older. Or younger. He never gets any wiser or less wise. We notice those changes as we get older. We can't think as clearly as once we could. We don't remember as much as once we did. We recognize that in some ways we're not as wise as we used to be, though perhaps in other ways we're wiser because we have more experience and knowledge to draw from. But it's hard to quantify exactly. The changes are there, and they're hard even to put your finger on and say, which direction are you going in, which area, which sphere? But never with God. God is immutable. We're talking about the God that we need to know. God who is number one, self-existent, and God number two, who is immutable, who does not change. And we will learn more about this God on the broadcast tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.